You, my friend, are listening to The Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you by listeners just like you. Our Patreon is live at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone, where you can directly support the show and get some awesome perks like Hearthstone coaching and early access to episodes. Go check it out and support the show today. And by Dropleaf. Discover PC games you'll love with Dropleaf. Subscribe and get unlimited access to a growing library of indie PC games. And if you go to thehappyhearthstone.com, click on the link in our show notes, you can get a free 14-day trial and support the show in the process. Hello and welcome to episode 103 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and oh my goodness, guys, BlizzCon happened. DreamHack Denver happened. So much has happened, and in order to process the huge amount of content that we have to talk about in this show, I brought on a friend, and that is a guy that I bet a lot of you guys know from the community, Drunken Monk. What's going on, man?
Well met. I'm glad to be on. I'm super excited to be on the oldest, longest running Hearthstone podcast of all time in space.
You're actually joining a legacy, and that feels it's significant, right?
It really is. After 100 episodes, I'm like, wow. Dude, it's just insane.
Especially when we hit that. That was a big deal. Hey, man. So tell us about who you are. Why are you here? How did you get in this whole Hearthstone scene? What the heck is up with you, man? Why are you so cool? Come on, give us some deets.
So I joined up about last October. A friend finally convinced me. I refused and refused and refused to play Hearthstone because I used to play Magic the Gathering, and I knew how much work and money went into playing Magic the Gathering on a competitive level.
Yes, absolutely.
So finally he convinced me, and he's like, you can do free to play and you can just kind of play and have fun. And so I started and got addicted, and in January decided to start trying to play competitively and prepping for my first tournament, which happened to be DreamHack.
Nice.
And that's really just how I got into it. I really enjoyed Magic the Gathering back in the day, and I really enjoy Hearthstone. I like the different kind of twist because of it being computerized. Mm-hmm. So we, like, you can do the random thing and all that kind of cool stuff you can't do with Magic the Gathering as well or at all.
Yeah. Now, what was your, were you skeptical when he told you you could be free to play? Was that something, or was that something that made sense to you after your experience with Magic?
I always skeptical with free to play. I still think that you're at a slight disadvantage in Hearthstone or any game when you're free to play, because the companies need to make you want to spend money in general.
Sure. They are companies,
so
after all.
They're companies. They're trying to produce a great game, and they do. And I'm not a free-to-play player.
Sure.
I usually buy the, like, entry pack for each expansion.
It's best deal there is.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I'm basically free-to-play and just grind for a lot of gold.
Nice. Well, now, so, going from zero to tournament in the course of less than a year is pretty impressive. Like, what was the learning curve like for you from the beginning to now?
Oh, it was difficult. It took a lot of time. I played a lot of games over that time period.
I bet.
because my first month, I think I ended at rank 12.
Not bad at all.
And then I hit rank 8 in that November.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't hit rank 5 till, I think, February. And then my lowest rank to date is 2.
Dang, man.
I haven't hit legend yet. Yeah.
If you can get to rank 2, you can get to legend. It's just a matter of putting in the time, really, at that point.
Exactly. And I've played with multiple players and coaches and professional players through that time period. I've played with Appa.
Yeah.
I played with John Hortzman from
Well Met. Yeah.
And then Slim. I trained with him for a little bit.
Nice.
So I've jumped around and tried to play with people, including, like, Ridiculous Hat.
You've had some good influencers who can help you get better.
Like, it's the best. That's how I improved the best, was I would train for about a month or two, mm-hmm. and just, I'd hit a wall, and I'd be like, I just am not playing this well, or I don't understand this class well enough. And so I'd go find someone I knew from online that was either good with that class or might be able to help me, and I'd just sit down with them for about an hour.
That's awesome. Nothing's going to help you get better than intentional time like that, right?
Exactly. And lots of games.
Yes, yes. The amount and the quality are both going to help you in different ways. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I'm excited to have you on the show, man. We've been friends in the Twitterverse for a while, and we finally got to meet up at DreamHack Denver, which was a blast. We'll talk about that later in the show, of course. But it's good to have you on, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
Of course.
I'm super excited.
Hey, speaking of being super excited and being happy, why don't you tell us why you're happy, man?
Well, we already discussed a little bit. I completed my first pro esports event, and I went 4-5, which isn't bad.
That's not bad at all.
I competed against one pro player and a couple of players that are like known but not pro. Mm-hmm. So I was excited about that. That's really kind of what I wanted to get out of the tournament. I didn't have any aspirations that I would win.
Sure, no. It's really for the experience more than anything.
But it was awesome. I really, really enjoyed
that.
Hey,
real quick, because I talked about the tournament, my tournament experience, who were the people that you went up against? What was your experience through that whole round?
So I went up against the one like pro semi-pro player I went up against was a TESPA player.
Oh, nice.
And I can't remember his name, but he rolled me with Rogue, and he felt really bad about it.
I bet he did.
Yeah, he rolled me 3 games in a row.
Oh, man.
Like, there was nothing I could do. He just high rolled me. He had Kel'Seth every single game turned
to. That'll do it.
Yeah, so it was still fun, and talked to him afterwards, and that was fun, and got to meet Cora and Racy, mm-hmm. and, you know, a bunch of the other pros, and kind of hang out with them, which was really nice. They're really approachable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, which I really liked. Nobody was really kind of had an ego or anything. It's like you could just talk to anybody and they just hang out, which I really, really enjoy.
Absolutely. Feels like you're coming back to family kind of in some ways, you know, even if you don't know each other. I guess maybe it's a long lost cousin at a family reunion. Some, I don't know, but it's not awkward. Maybe that's a terrible example. Anyway, tell us other reasons why you're happy, man.
Hey, the new expansion is going to be coming out in December.
Woo-hoo!
So I'm excited about that. I always like new expansions, absolutely. Seeing new stuff coming out and messing around with new decks and new cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you not be excited about that?
Dude, yeah.
Even though it usually kills my ranked play because I'm not a talented player like that, I need to know what I'm going up
sure,
against.
Sure, yeah.
In general, to do well.
It's that first week or so that's just complete chaos on the ladder. That's also, it's fun and it's infuriating at the exact same time. And there's no separating the two.
No, the grind is terrible, but playing is
absolutely
fun. Like, if you just go in knowing that you're not going to like just crush it on a 12 game win streak, it's awesome to play. And then I've actually started enjoying Destiny 2 came out right after
DreamHack,
and been jumped into Overwatch because that World Cup presentation was
holy
insane.
Cow, right? I mean, they hyped it, like, but it was not overhype. They delivered on the hype.
Yeah, well, I played it in the beta. And then I stopped playing because it started kind of annoying me. I couldn't keep up. And I didn't have a lot of friends I was playing with.
Gotcha.
And then I come back in with a few people that, stream. So I've been playing with them on their streams and streaming on my stream at the same time and stuff. So I've had a lot more fun with it that way and doing Destiny 2. So
dude, I found out that the two people at my work that I sit next to are both Destiny 2 fiends, and I wouldn't have pegged either of them as gamers at all. It seems like that game has taken over in a lot of ways.
It's insane. It really is. There's still some work to be done, but the game overall I think is fun, and it's a game you don't have to put a ton of time into if you don't want to, which is nice, because like I try and play Hearthstone on a competitive level, and that takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
So
well, and I guess you could play and have your phone right in front of you. Have you ever tried to dual play? Can you do that?
I have.
Does it work?
I do. somewhat. If you can do quick games sure. in Hearthstone, you can kind of duo play like that in queues and stuff.
If it's a mindless deck or something that,
yeah,
I don't know, you know your strategy for. Not like you said you were playing Ruzakas Priest earlier. That deck, you have to really think about every card and have I drawn this yet, man. Or has he? You know,
I'm terrible with that deck. It's
a tough one. I mean, if you can get it to work, it's extremely good, but. Yeah, combo decks are tough to pull off often.
it reminds me of playing the first like really thought provoking deck I played was probably the was it Discover mm-hmm. Mage? That was really difficult yeah. when it first started kind of rolling out, and I see a lot of similarities between it. Like the amount of time you have to think ahead. And like when it happens and it's great and everybody hates you because you're playing it, but then you do the other three games out of four that you don't get the draws you need
terribly.
Yeah,
it happens. That's okay. Well, cool. I'm happy because I finally hit rank 10 yesterday, which, my goodness, I have not really tried to ladder up since I hit legend in June. And man, this month is rough for whatever reason. I could not figure it out, but I got some good help from my buddy Steve and Watchmen, who kind of encouraged me. And Blister Guy was actually the one who said, hey, have you tried Murloc Paladin? And I was like, well, yeah, but meh. Just a reminder for you guys, it takes about 10 games with a deck before you can even really start to gauge whether it's working or not. Because what I was determined after Blister Guy said, do some Murloc Paladin. I said, okay, whatever. I will put in my 10 games and then I can say what happens. It wasn't until the ninth game that I started a win streak. And eventually that took me all the way up to rank 10. But
that's hilarious, though, because for me, I always go on win streaks right when
seriously?
I start.
Seriously? Oh, man, that's opposite for me.
I always go like three or four games and then it tanks. And then I'm like, ah. I should have good RNG when I start decks. Apparently.
That's okay. You should keep that train rolling as long as you can. Well, I'm just thankful that I got there. We'll see how the rest of the month goes. But also, of course, it's Hearthstone Christmas season with card reveals and everything. So November 20th, when we'll see some new cards, but we'll talk about some of the ones we've seen already. And I also want to let you guys know, many of you probably already know this, but this past weekend, I finally got all of the legacy episodes of the Happy Hearthstone up on our RSS feed, on the website and stuff like that. So you can go to thehappyhearthstone.com now, and that's our official website. You can check out all the episodes, or you should be able to download them in your podcast app of choice. It was honestly a lot of fun going back through. I could find like kind of when I started listening to the show. And listen to some past episodes that I didn't even know existed and stuff like that. There's a lot of some developer interviews. There's just a lot of really good stuff on there. So be sure to go check them out. They're a free gift because podcasts are free. That's what they do, right? All right. Well, we got some good news to talk about. Monk, you know what it is.
Oh, man. Expansion it's new news expansion. Is always the best news.
And our new expansion is called Kobolds and Catacombs. Are you ready to notate Candle this December?
I'm glad that they went with like a light-hearted mm-hmm. one after Frozen Throne.
See, it's funny that you mentioned that. I actually kind of thought the opposite, that it felt a little bit like, I guess the kobolds themselves are kind of funny, but it seemed sort of treacherous, and I don't know. I guess you can't take, you know, little creatures that keep candles on their heads too seriously, but
well, if you look at it from, they took both expansions, they took the darker one and made it kind of fun
mm-hmm.
with certain things, and I think they've taken what is could have been like really kooky and fun and made it a little bit more serious.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is really good design.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really like that going back to kind of the old school D&D mentality and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited to see what it does.
It's going to be really fun. They said this is kind of their love letter to original, dungeon crawling kind of feely games. So obviously like Dungeons and Dragons or even, I don't know, I felt a little bit, we all thought that this was going to be Pirates, but we were so focused on Marin the Fox's appearance that we couldn't see that. Like you go into dungeons to get the treasure, to get the, you know, the legendary artifacts and stuff like that, you know. So that's kind of where we're going. And speaking of Marin the Fox, if you haven't noticed yet, he's in your collection. What?
He is. He's pretty awesome.
This was totally out of the blue. They told us that everyone with a virtual ticket for BlizzCon was going to get a golden copy of it. But what they didn't tell us until BlizzCon is that everyone gets a regular version of him completely free.
So I got two copies.
And you can't dust one of them. That kind of stinks. Gotta be honest. Whatever. But it's free stuff, right? You can't be upset about that.
No.
So have you messed around with Marin yet? Have you plundered the treasure chest?
I haven't really messed around with him. I haven't been playing a ton of Hearthstone since he's come out, but from some of the streams I've been watching, he looks fun. I am interested to see if he stays competitive, because I can't remember what that other card that they released early, Volcanosaur,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you saw him a bunch when it first came out, and then you never saw him again.
Right.
So, like, I'm not sure how competitive he's going to continue to be, but he seems fun.
I would anticipate that he will not be. But the fact that they're giving it to us early, everyone wants to play him. And I like that they're doing this with kind of these one-off smaller releases or pre-releases or whatever you want to call them. Because it injects life into what everyone's doing on the ladder.
Oh, and it gets the hype train rolling a little bit, which is nice.
Yeah.
So they definitely need to do that.
The hype train doesn't just exist in my head. It exists in my deck.
Exactly.
Well, he is pretty fun to mess around with. If you haven't yet, you definitely should go check him out in your collection. But the bigger news is that we got 14 cards that have been revealed out of the 135 that are going to be a part of this set. And there's some crazy stuff on here. Again, you know how we do it on this show. Steve and I will be doing our knockdown drag-out sessions of going through all the cards once we know what all of them are. I anticipate that'll probably be in the month of December that we'll be doing those. But we have to talk about a few of them because there's several new mechanics in this set that I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Monk, but there's a lot of good reason to be jacked up about some new stuff.
I think it's going to definitely change things. Like you can say that about basically every expansion.
Sure.
It's going to change things, but I think they're adding some really cool stuff that is going to change the meta even more, which would be nice because, you know, people are always complaining that the meta never changes.
Absolutely.
Even though it does.
It has changed so much. And
I know that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But
it'll be interesting. But
like all
to
the
see.
Weapons and stuff is going to be kind of cool. And then they've got like the recruit function. And
so which one do you want to talk about first?
I kind of want to talk about the weapons first. Cause like that's really big for me. Like all classes getting a weapon.
Isn't
that kind of cool?
Yeah.
It's weird though. Cause like the two we've seen, we've only seen two, right? I think it's
right.
Two, both are 0/3s. Mm-hmm. So for me, I almost feel that they shouldn't have called it a weapon.
Right.
I think this was an opportunity. You could have gone like a necklace or a piece of jewelry or something. Like there's so many things you can do and pull from what would be the World of Warcraft slots to put this there instead of putting it as a weapon.
Sure.
I'm sure it's because of design space and trying to keep it mobile and going into that spot and all that kind of thing.
I think it's just consistency for the average player, you know. You say, oh, you can equip this necklace, and they think, oh, well, I can put that on and this weapon or something like that, you know. So it's just the one slot or whatever. And it does look like they kind of are more like wearable artifacts rather than actual weapons. No weapon is going to have zero attack, so that's But yeah, so like you said, all nine classes are getting one. They're all going to be legendary, so interesting. And all players are going to get one free legendary weapon at launch. So similar to how they did the Death Knights. I love this idea because making more legendary cards obviously makes the game a bit more expensive, and it's tougher to get those things that you like. So one free one is a huge sign of goodwill, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Well, they seem to be really focusing on that. The last couple of expansions, mm-hmm. trying to make it where, you know, free to play can possibly be a thing and new players can kind of enjoy it. Like, I think it's really brilliant of them to do it.
And it gets you really excited about the expansion, whether you get the pre-order or not. It's like, hey, at least I'm going to get this weapon and I can mess around with that, build a deck around it and all that kind of stuff. So you want to talk to us about Dragon Soul? Tell us what it is real quick.
Dragon Soul is the priest weapon.
Mm-hmm.
It is 3 cost. After you cast 3 spells in a turn, summon a 5/5 dragon.
So it's interesting.
And we've recently seen a kind of resurgence of Dragon Priest,
mm-hmm.
Lately on the ladder. So I think that this will only bolster that, which will be cool.
I guess when dragons are on the battlefield, they don't necessarily, they can't be buffed specifically in dragon ways yet. We'll have to wait and see what comes, but it is pretty cool that you get that. And I mean, casting 3 spells, especially if you got Lyra on board, pretty easy, right?
Lyra, and they have so many cheap things, mm-hmm. and like, it's going to really fit into a lot of the current decks, I think, pretty well. And maybe you could build it, depending on, of course, the set, build a deck entirely around something like this mechanic. Right. But it already kind of fits into the current mechanics.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the Tavern Brawl that we had not too long ago, where like Spellstone, where for every spell you cast, you get a minion of the same cost. This sort of, it's not exactly that, and it's much lesser value, but for casting those spells, you're going to get a 5/5. You know exactly what you're going to get. I feel like you're going to be able to use this. It's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah. The only thing that you could see a problem with, I guess, would be that you're dropping 5/5s, and then Anduin kind of destroys your board.
If you're playing against, or you're playing the mirror or something.
Or even your own Anduin. Like, either way, it might cause a hesitation where you're going to run this or that.
I kind of wonder if this is going to fit better in some more aggressive priest build, because like casting those small spells is going to be hard if you don't have a mechanic like Lyra or Gadgets and Auctioneer or something like that. It'll be really interesting to see what comes from it, because I think that both of the weapons they've shown us are a bit confusing, but it seems like they're strong. Especially, we were talking a bit before the show, I'm pretty confident that you don't actually lose durability each time this gets utilized, like you do with Medivh's weapon, Atiesh. Because it doesn't say anything about that, and Atiesh does. So if your opponent doesn't have like an Ooze or Harrison Jones, you basically get this effect for the rest of the game. So it's like a persistent, it's their example of, I can't remember what the mechanic was called in Magic, but it's like, it's a persistent battleground kind of effect.
Well, they have that for that one, the Warlock quest, where you get that thing that produces demons.
Oh, sure. The Nether Portal.
Yeah, the Nether Portal. So I don't know. I feel that almost makes it a little too powerful, mm-hmm. by not having it. Cause like, you're already getting a huge advantage this one. And then you have the mage one to let you draw 3 cards, mm-hmm. at the end of your turn. Like, that's already a huge advantage over 3 turns for that. Like,
yeah,
wow. You get 9 card draw out of it.
That's kind of crazy, right?
That's just nuts. Well, I guess with that one, it'd be a difficulty of running into, you know, fatigue damage.
Yeah. but for a deck like Exodia Mage, you want to be burning through your stuff pretty quickly. So I'm really interested to see, especially the classes that don't typically get weapons, like Druid, what is that going to be? Or I guess we've seen Mage and Priest. Warlock, it'll be really interesting to see what kind of stuff.
I like that they've done it. And I think it's going to be really cool. So, and based on what they've created, I'm going to assume that they're going to keep this kind of 3 thing going on for each class.
Probably.
So I'm interested to see what they do with that.
So let's talk about this other keyword that's brand new. It's called recruit. And what recruit is, it's similar to keywords like discover or battle cry, stuff like that. So recruit means you pull a minion out of your deck and put it into the battlefield. So this is basically the effect of Yashiraj without the 10/10 body. And it some cards are going well, like the most basic one that they showed us was Gather Your Party, which is a warrior rare spell. For 6 cost, it reads recruit a minion. So literally the exact same thing Yashiraj does. It takes a random minion that's in your deck and puts it directly into the battlefield without a battle cry or anything like that. So if you use Gather Your Party to get Yashiraj out of your deck, he will still hit his effect at the end of your turn and pull out another creature. So there's a lot of potential here, I think, for Wallet Warrior to sort of make a return. But the interesting thing is you don't want to put really low cost minions like Armorsmiths or Acolytes of Pain, something like that, in that deck. So it'll be interesting to see if we can, or like just how deck builders will kind of make that happen and stuff.
I like what it does. I think it's going to be really cool. I think it's going to bolster the easy big easy anything
right
mentality.
Mm-hmm. It's a good thing that this card is not in Priest or Druid. I will say that, because that would be a problem.
So I'll be interested to see what more, I guess, more cards we see with that recruit mentality.
Absolutely. We did see a minion that it reads something along the lines of recruit a minion that costs 2 or less, or has an attack of 2 or less, something like that. So they'll have those effects where it kind of it has stipulations on it. And of course, those kind of tutor effects are going to be really abused as much as possible by some of the smartest deck builders out there.
Oh yeah, it's a huge advantage. It's worked.
Yeah,
we've already seen it work with Yashiraj. So now we're just giving more people that option.
Yeah, I'm eager to see what other stuff comes out of there. So there's a few other card mechanics. Honestly, we probably already spent too much time talking about this. There's just so much. If you haven't looked into this stuff, you really need to. The big deal is that right now you can pre-order. It's 50 packs for $49.99 in the US, which is the same deal that they always do with these. And you're going to get the For the Horde card back, which is like all glittery and shiny and treasure. It's pretty. But it is just a card back. So don't get it because of that. Get it because it's good value. But
get it for the card back. We all know card that's back. What you get it for.
I mean, the card back is nice. The other big thing that they announced, because starting with Return or the Knights of the Frozen Throne, they were going to add in free single player content. And they haven't just kind of done the same thing with this. They've actually added in an entirely new mode that's going to come with this expansion. So Monk, can you tell us about this?
So it just basically looks like a set of boss mods, and they get increasingly harder as you play through and you get like treasure and stuff from it. They did a competition as part of that streamer showdown or whatever they did for BlizzCon.
Yeah.
So I watched a little bit on there, and it looked really cool, and single player content is awesome. And I think that this single player content is going to be a lot of fun for people, and it's adding a little bit of story and a little bit of fun to it. So I'll enjoy playing it. They've kept to their word. I know a lot of people were really worried when they got rid of the single player content rotations. I came in towards the end of that, so I never really got to do that, but apparently a lot of people got really mad about it originally.
I wasn't too mad about it, especially when they said like we're going to have this baked into every single expansion. I mean, I listened to some of the dev interviews, and it was interesting hearing Yang Wu talk about how they put so much into like One Night in Karazhan, you know, like into the scripts, into the bosses, into the fights and stuff. And then there were streamers who would have like a race to see who could finish the adventure first, and they'd get done in an hour. And it's like, we just spent months making this thing, and you're Like, it's just done. Like, that's it, you know? And I mean, you'd have Heroic to work through and everything, but this new mode, Dungeon Run, is going to be, you know, this roguelike experience where each time is going to be different. You're going to have a lot of replayability. What is it? 48 unique bosses, I think. Yep. And you'll have a different run through a set of those bosses each time. Your deck is going to be randomized to some degree. It's just really, really interesting that they've kind of started from scratch and thought, how can we make single player content replayable? And everything I'm hearing from people who got to play it at BlizzCon and stuff is that it is really, really fun.
Oh man, I can't. They've made it where it's a completely separate mindset almost.
Right.
With the way they did it, which is awesome, because I think that's the way you should do it. It needs to be something where I want to go play that because it's different, instead mm-hmm. of just going, I'm going to go run through and destroy these bosses with my pirate warrior
or right.
whatever you want to run them over with. This makes it where it's more of a fun and a challenge mm-hmm. that people can go back to.
And they've said that it is really hard. And, you know, the roguelike games that I've played are significantly difficult as well. So, but what's nice is that it's completely free. So you're not, you know, paying gold each time or anything like that. You can just jump in, see how it goes, and hopefully you're going to kill it. But you might not. You might get killed really bad. Apparently one of the bosses is called Room Full of Traps. So there's that. You might get killed by a room full of traps. But
that sounds okay. Like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what that one is. But I can't wait to see kind of what they come up with this, or what it's going to be like. There are YouTube videos that you can find of people kind of playing through it at BlizzCon and stuff if you're interested. The only other thing is that you'll be able to choose your class each time you do it. And if you're able to beat the mode with each class, you'll get a unique card back. So it's sort of like the Heroic mode where you get this special card back for a special achievement. And that's cool that they're adding that in. But other than that, you won't have any persistent rewards from the game mode. It's just kind of for the fun of the game. And it is free, so you really can't complain about that.
Oh, yeah. And what's nice is that it obviously they put a ton of time into this and really thought through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that something they're giving away for free, they put that amount of time into. And that's that Blizzard does across all of their games,
mm-hmm.
I think. And people kind of ride them a lot. And I've been riding Hearthstone quite a bit for saying that it's free to play, but it's easier to blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something you can do that's just going to be fun.
Absolutely.
And a ton of time went into it, and a ton of thought went into it. Mm-hmm. And I think people are going to really enjoy it.
I mean, how many bosses were typically an adventure? Like, I guess, like...
8?
14? Wasn't
8 or 9?
It depends. I think, like, the old school ones had, like, 5 wings, and you'd have... you'd have 4 pretty much in each one. So, like, the most was probably 17 bosses, something like that. And now you got 48 in just one expansion. So, I'll be interested to see if they do this, like, if they kind of... do a dungeon run for each expansion moving forward, if they kind of go away from the storyline. They didn't reveal anything about that. We just know that this is the single player content that we're getting from this one. It's pretty cool.
What I'd like to see is some Hearthstone storyline in some of this stuff. And I don't know if we're going to get it with this. From what I saw, I'm probably not really.
Yeah.
It's I still love it, but I was like, I'd really like to see some stuff that's kind of like they did with the other releases, where it's kind of a storyline and it goes through kind of a Hearthstone type story versus mm-hmm. like a World of Warcraft story that you're right. just playing off of. I think that's really cool and something they should continue to venture.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I will feel that being missed. Although some of the bosses it looks like are pretty ridiculous. So we'll at least get some fun anecdotes and stuff from that, I'm sure. Before we get into our main topic, I want to take a quick second to thank our sponsors of this episode, which is Dropleaf. And what I really love about Dropleaf is that they allow you to really have something to kind of take your mind off of your frustrations. I know if you're anything like me, you can really get frustrated on the ladder. Does that sound familiar, Monk? Does that sound familiar to
yes.
you?
Yes. A little bit.
And one of the best things, like I've talked about on previous episodes, you can do is take a break. But sometimes, like as a gamer, you don't want to quit gaming, especially when you know you need to stop. But Dropleaf is great. It's this online platform that gives you unlimited access to an awesome library of indie games that continues to grow. So you'll find games that you've been meaning to get to, stuff like Evil Land 2 and Dungeon Rushers. And there's also a ton of gems that you don't even know exist yet, but you're going to love them. And what's cool is it's only $4.99 a month, and it supports the work of great indie developers. And as if that weren't enough, they have a 14-day trial that lets you get in and see if it's something that works for you that's completely risk-free. So go ahead and check it out by going to the show notes for this episode at thehappyhearthstone.com and click on the link to check out Dropleaf there. You'll be supporting the Happy Hearthstone in the process and getting access to some great games. I would call that a win-win.
More free stuff? Like, how do you... 14 days of free. Why don't go? Just go for it.
It's free 99, the best price ever. Well, awesome. Well, hey, I brought you on, man, because we got to talk some DreamHack Denver. So you and I are both Coloradans, kind of. I'm not a native. Were you born and raised here?
I was raised here. I've been here since I was 4 years old.
Okay, you're basically a native then. I've been here for upwards of 6 months. I spent a few years before that, but man, so cool that DreamHack came here, right? Is that not a story in and of itself?
I was so excited when they announced it coming here because I was like, I want to try and play in a pro tournament, see if I like training for it, competing in it, that experience. I want to make sure I enjoyed it, and it allowed me to do it in my hometown without having to pay to go somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's as good as it gets.
It was awesome. And Denver obviously is a great place. A lot of people mm-hmm. love to come here.
Yeah. I think it kind of flies under everyone's radar as like a key vacation spot. Like everyone knows to come to Colorado for skiing because skiing's incredible out here. But the other, 8-9 months out of the year, everyone's like, yeah, whatever. And those are some of the most beautiful months out here.
It's true.
You get those mountains every
day.
Plus,
we're here and we're cool.
Oh, yeah. Obviously. That just ups it times 10. Well, we're going to go through kind of our survival guide with some tips for you guys if you ever end up at DreamHack specifically, or I'm sure a lot of these will cover other esports events and stuff like that. But the biggest thing before we get into it is this, and I have to kind of humble myself here because it's a big mistake that I made that I don't want any of you guys to make. So if you ever plan on going to DreamHack or any other event for that matter, I want you to just remember, you can forget everything else I said. Just remember this one thing, go back and listen to this episode the month before the event or the week of the event. And you can skip to this part or, you know, if you want or whatever. But I made this mistake because the Hero Power guys were at DreamHack Atlanta and they talked about it on their show. And I listened to that back when it was released, but I didn't re-listen to it going into DreamHack Denver. And I really regret that because they gave a lot of great advice that I did not utilize looking back. So yeah, that's the biggest thing I'm going to say to you. Go listen to this again when the time is right, but soak it up now, let it sink in. Hopefully there's one or two things that stick with you, but let that be the one thing if nothing else does. So a big thing I wanted to talk about is prioritizing, right? You will not be able to do everything at an event like this. There was so much going on and there's just no way to see it all. Were there things that you didn't know about until you got there that were there, Monk?
Yeah, they had so many different areas for different types of games, different just stuff. Like they had like an area for arcade games mm-hmm. and they had like a D&D area.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of place for like tabletop games. And then they had like a magic area and then they had like a mobile area playing mobile games with a bunch of like iPads and stuff out. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they had some like LAN spots that weren't bring your own.
Right.
Like they had just so much stuff, plus all of the professional sporting stuff that was going on. Like it was insane.
I would kind of break it up. You've got your main gaming tournaments that are kind of the big draw, I would say, where esports events are happening. And I think that all of the games are open tournaments, aren't they? It's not just Hearthstone.
I'm pretty sure, but don't hold us to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you'd have to check it for sure. But I mean, they had PUBG, they had Super Smash Brothers, they had CS:GO. There were several games that were playing and
Dota.
Yeah, I mean, there were just like, if you're into all of those games, you cannot be there for the entire tournament of all of them. You'll have to go pop in and see a match and then go check out another one and just keep it moving. I will say I'm thankful that Hearthstone was the only game that I was really into that was doing esports there, because that let me really focus. And if that's you, great. You can just plan on that. But even with that, there was so much Hearthstone happening that weekend. It was kind of exhausting, wasn't it?
Oh, man. I was so tired. I had taken the Monday after off to kind of recuperate, because it was just like constant go, 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 especially when you were competing.
Yes.
From Friday till Saturday afternoon. Like, they didn't finish the last game till usually like 10:30, 11.
Yeah.
And then games didn't start till 11, but then like, I'm commuting. I'm not staying out
there.
So driving out and trying to see stuff, and like, I was exhausted.
And
it, just from
that is important that. To remember, actually, like, they have a sleeping section there. You can buy like a $20 pass, and I think they had like some low end mattresses and stuff. I mean, it's doable. It's not the slums by any stretch, but if you want to just stay on site, you can. You have that option, you know.
It's insane, the LAN area.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's another area. They call it BYOC, which is bring your own computer, right? Dude, that place was nuts. It was, I mean, 500 people just in a room, just playing whatever they want to play. Like, that's
pitch black.
Yeah,
room.
Pretty much pitch black. There were like some neon lights on the sides or something like that. But
like, if you've never been to a LAN party on that scale before, like, it is an experience.
It's a bit overwhelming.
You just see people just sitting there playing. And they'll bring, like, people were bringing, like, special shelving units to put all of their stuff on top of their computers and lights. And, like, it was just, hey, let me show off my awesome nerdness.
Right. This is the place to do
it
that.
It was really cool.
And I will say it was really cool that we had kind of a section of the BYOC area that was, like, me and some of the guys from Dad Legend. And that was fun to kind of have a section, at least, to sort of be home base. But we really didn't get much time to play there because of the Hearthstone tournament taking up so much of our time. I was actually pretty thankful that I got out of the tournament and had, like, I think I played for maybe 30 minutes Saturday night. And then finally Sunday morning, I was like, look, I brought my computer all the way out of here. I need to play some freaking games. Okay. So
yeah, we went down and watched you get crushed in something. Heroes.
Oh yeah. That was fun though, because I was playing with Eggman, man. I was playing with some of the Dad Legend guys, and it was, it was brutal, but we still had fun at least, 'cause we were like there and we were still on our mics and Discord and stuff.
Yeah, like, the tournament took up so much time at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there wasn't like a ton of time to leave and go do things. Plus, you're just tired. If you've ever played tournament level Hearthstone, your brain gets tired.
Yeah, it's
like you're just sitting there.
If you're doing it right, if you're truly thinking through every play, thinking through what they could have and stuff, it's just mentally exhausting. So that's why on Sunday I was like, guys, can we just play some Heroes and just like goof off? Like, I want to see what Junkrat's all about. we'll see. And that was fun to just have something very different. So if like Hearthstone is your game and you're going just for that, honestly, you can like bring your own laptop or your tablet or something like that, and you'll be just fine not even going to the BYOC section.
Yeah, I was kind of, I don't know, a little bit annoyed because I bought my ticket for DreamHack like right when it came out, when they first announced it. And then I was like, oh, BYOC pass, because you have to have that to compete is what they said.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
That's what I saw. I hadn't found the Hearthstone. They hadn't announced the Hearthstone yet. When it first got announced. And so, like, it wasn't anything overly angering or expensive, but it was just like, I wish I had known that, because I would have, like, not done that a pass and done the other pass.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah. I've heard from a lot of people that have gone to other events like BlizzCon and that kind of thing, that having a BYOC spot is nice because it's somewhere you can kind of go rest and set your stuff down
at. Sure.
So that's cool. And the area you can't get access to without a BYOC pass.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just even bring friends in. Secure. So yeah. you can go in and it's nice to go hang out with people. And I had a bunch of friends in there because, you know, I'm local. So right. I had a bunch of people that were there. So that was nice. But that's an experience I would do on its own, even outside of the Hearthstone tournament.
I think that if you just go for the BYOC area, you can have a ton of fun, especially if you're going with some people and stuff. I don't anticipate it would be good to just go by yourself and kind of sit in a corner and play games, because you can do that at home, you know. but really, like, you know, getting to know people in the community and stuff like that, it was just a lot of fun. Another area were all the booths that were there too.
Holy cow. They had a whole little like mall section.
So they had a section for artists that was just them kind of selling their gaming related stuff. They had, you know, sponsors, so stuff like computer accessories and some like small sales stuff. People were like selling plushies in the mystery boxes. What was up with that? People were just buying these boxes that they don't know what's in them.
Yeah, it was like they had, I think, a list of like what could be any box.
There's like one box with an NES Mini in it or something like that.
And they had like a bunch of different levels of boxes too. So there was like the top prize you could get at any level or whatever. And
gosh,
yeah, I didn't buy anything, but
it's the lottery, people. Don't just throw your money down the trash. Invest it in stuff, you know. But they also had a section just for indie game developers. So there was some cool stuff I got to play over there. There was this neat platformer called like the King's Run. There was this really cool game there also called No Heroes Here. It was like the developers are from Spain or something like that. And so he was they were just really cool. This game was like an 8-bit. It's sort of like a castle simulator. It's like, but it's really simple. You have to go to this side of the map and grab the iron to craft a cannonball. And then you have to polish these cannons and fire them at the right times. It was a co-op game that you like. It felt like a really good couch co-op thing where if you've got your buddy right next to you, you can kind of yell, "Oh, hey, go get this thing." And they're coming. You got to go. You know, we just had a lot of fun checking that out. So it was cool to have just a bunch of games we hadn't heard of yet. Be able to go try them out.
It was just so much, like it's almost overwhelming.
I feel like you could have spent a whole morning sitting. I only got to play like two games in that area, and I had to force myself to go over there and do that because I was like, I'm going to regret it if I don't at least see what these games are.
Well, what's interesting about like DreamHack, because I have a bunch of friends that do like cosplay and go to these kind of events all over the place, but none of them really knew about DreamHack because it's mainly a European thing. It's only last year was the first US one. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I would definitely go back. And even if you're not going to compete in any games or even play any games or do the LAN, just going for a day, getting a day pass or a 2-day pass or whatever and hanging out would be well worth your while.
Oh yeah. And there were some listeners of the show who were able to do that. Like BMAC, he was there. He was just able to come on Sunday and I think he had a great time. It seemed like so. So yeah, definitely do that stuff. It's fun and it's electric to be able to come and hang out even for a little bit. Let's see what else we got here. This is a big one. Check if there's Wi-Fi, because guess what? There wasn't at DreamHack Denver.
And I think they chose not to have Wi-Fi. Because there was Wi-Fi capabilities, I believe, but they chose not to have it, I think, is what I heard. No, you can't hold me to that. Like, I didn't make decisions, but that's what I heard, is that they chose not to have Wi-Fi.
I mean, I guess it makes sense, because literally every person there is going to be on the Wi-Fi.
It would just crash.
I did hear that whoever it was that chose like the rodeo, it was like at a pro rodeo place. Like apparently got fired the day of. I don't know if that's just an urban legend or not, but
yeah, I heard the same thing. Cause the venue, like I was surprised about the venue as well. When I first found out where it was, I was like, there are a lot better venues and some of them downtown. Yeah. Now it might be a little bit more expensive, but you're a giant festival.
Yeah. You kind of have to sometimes.
Like put yourself in downtown Denver and go to the regular convention centers and that kind of thing. So I hope that they come back again. and maybe choose a different venue?
I would assume that they would. I mean, like you said, DreamHack is a new thing to America. Last year they were in Austin. This year they expanded that to Austin, Atlanta, and Denver. I would say that next year they're probably going to keep expanding that, maybe over to the West Coast, East Coast, stuff like that. Or actually, they'd be smart to go to like Illinois or something like that too. But as long as it's profitable, I mean, they're just going to keep churning out as many of these as they can, you know?
Oh, like they're going to, you know, they're going to make tons of money off of these events.
Yeah.
And as DreamHack becomes bigger and bigger and better advertised in the US, I think more and more people are going to go to it. Mm-hmm. Like, look at how many people just within the Hearthstone community came here when TwitchCon was going on the same weekend.
Right, right. That was pretty incredible too, to see so many people. I kind of wondered if it was just going to be crickets, but yeah, it was very well attended.
The big difference I saw from who went to TwitchCon versus who went to DreamHack tended to be the big streamers mm-hmm. went to TwitchCon,
yeah.
while what I consider the bigger, more competitive focused players went to DreamHack.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And it'll be nice if they don't have to choose. I'm sure that this was just a crazy coincidence, and I'm very hopeful that there won't be competing efforts again next year. I do hope that Blizzard kind of ups their involvement with these kinds of events too. And I maybe that's not Blizzard's fault. It could be that DreamHack just wants to run indie on their own. But, you know, it was weird to see so much Hearthstone love and so many people who love Hearthstone there without really any kind of, I mean, we even had to like remove the fireside gathering we were going to do because they had come down so hard on the NEMSI rules and stuff.
Yeah, there wasn't like any memorabilia and stuff really for...
Probably could have made some good money if you just had the lanyards like there. Yeah,
like put a little stand-up.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of disappointed by that.
I probably should have run my own stand over there, although it's probably illegal or something. But
yeah, it probably cost money or something.
Yeah, stupid money.
To set up. But you could have made bank selling a bunch of Blizzard
stuff.
Oh my
gosh, yeah. I'm sure that there was some stuff there, but I didn't see it. I know people were paying like $20 for a LAN cable because they forgot it. So like,
really?
Yeah, I mean, I forgot mine. So there's that. Although thankfully, since I was staying offside, I was able to just swing by Walmart on my way in the next morning. And then I was good. But... what else was going on? What's something that really stands out to you that you wish you had known?
I guess I would have brought in a little bit more. Like, I brought snacks and stuff because, like, I knew it was going to be long days. Mm-hmm. But it ended up being even longer than I expected.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize what time it was a lot of the time. Like, all of a sudden, of course, we were, like, in a concrete room with no windows and stuff. So there was no sun to tell you
right.
whether it came up or not. But I was just... it'd be 10 o'clock at night and I'd be like, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock at night.
I got to go home.
Man, I got to go sleep at some point. Like, and I had a couple friends that literally just basically stayed there and went home for like 5 or 6 hours to crash real quick and then went back that were playing in the LAN area. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I could handle that. I'm too old for that.
Yeah. I mean, if you were staying up until 3 or 4 a.m. just gaming in BYOC, I guess you'd get your money's worth. But my goodness, like you said, just playing Hearthstone all day was just so mentally exhausting. It's like, I have got to lie down. And now with a kid, I, you know, wake up at 6 a.m. every morning pretty much because it's out of my control what happens. But no, I feel you, man. It's part of growing up, I guess. And I agree with you also that like the food on site was okay, but it was certainly an upcharge for what you were getting. I mean, it was really funny. You and I and Apex Predator were like, let's go to a restaurant, right? And I saw cheese fries on the menu. I'm like, oh, that's cheap. That's good. And then right before it comes out, I don't know if it was you or if it was me. I was like, hey, you know how like the only way you can ruin cheese fries?
Is nacho cheese.
Is with nacho cheese. Oh, well, I'm sure they won't do that. And what do they do? Nacho cheese.
Nacho cheese with a couple sprinkles of bacon on it.
Yeah, it was not great. So
it's the venue again. It's another venue choice. Like, there was nothing around that. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like you could go out to eat elsewhere. There was just nothing. It was quite a drive to get to anywhere. And so I hope they come back and they put it somewhere where it's better located.
I would expect that we'll see that. Maybe even one of the, that you could do it in downtown, but even one of the suburbs might be nice, you know?
Yeah.
So that you've got access to stuff and it's not just crazy traffic. And that's good, man. The one other thing that I'll say is to watch out for swag and giveaways, because they're not always, it was like they had sneaky giveaways throughout the entire weekend, you know?
Free monsters? I had no idea until I walked up and they were just like, here's your free monster.
That was phenomenal. The monster was there at a booth and they were just giving out monster. And it's like, yep,
First day they let you just like walk in and leave. Like they just hand it to you and you walk away.
Really?
And then the second day I went in, they're like, you need to drink it here. We're trying to make it kind of like a bar area. So they had like a bunch of people sitting at tables and watching some of the
They had some streams on there, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay. So I slammed one while I was there one morning, but
I was thinking the whole time, like they could be here charging $1 and I'd be drinking as many as I am, you know, but free, they want to buy my loyalty. They've got it, you know, that's easy. Yeah.
It's Monster sponsors so much stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that's just whatever.
It is. No, I can't imagine. It's a small price probably for them compared to what they get. But there were also other bigger ticket giveaways. There were, you know, all the computer accessory people. Like, I remember when we bought our BYOC passes, the line that we were in had like this logo that said Cougar next to it. And I remember asking Ben over at Dad Legend, I was like, hey, do you know what this Cougar thing is next to our line? And he was like, I don't know, man. I thought it looked like an esports logo. I was like, is there like a team on this line or something? And it wasn't until Sunday, midday, I just happened to be at my BYOC and a guy from the event comes over to me and says, hey, we're doing a Cougar giveaway if you want to come win something. I'm like, yes, I do. And I go over, I find out Cougar is a computer accessory manufacturer. And they had sponsored those two lines. And all it was like at the end of the weekend, they were just giving away stuff. And I got a free mouse, which is right in front of me, which is fantastic because I needed one really bad.
Yeah, I remember you complaining about it
earlier that day, right?
Yep.
but
a real mouse. I was like, well, go get a nice mouse.
And I was going to, but then they said, here's a free one. And I said, yes, please. But the tough thing about that was that it was totally out of the blue. Like they didn't tell us about it. And there were plenty of people who were in those lines who weren't there at the time of the giveaway and missed out, unfortunately. So I know Adam from Tier 5, he and his son just came for like a little part of Sunday and they just happened to walk by a booth and they were like, hey, we're doing a giveaway later today. Here you go. And he ended up winning like a keyboard, mouse, headset, and hat. Like,
I saw that. It was the last day.
Yeah, like $100 worth of products just out of nowhere. So, I mean, be aware of those things if they're going on, but also be willing to just let it go if you miss out, because there's, like we said, there's too much going on. You can't win all the things. But certainly thankful for my mouse and for Cougar, who didn't sponsor this episode, but I'm still giving them a shout out because they gave me a free mouse. So maybe one day. Well, that's everything I can think of, man, for DreamHack. It was a lot of fun. I will say, like, if they are coming near your neck of the woods next year, go. If they're not, still consider going. I mean, this is an event to travel for. I know Apex Predator did. He's from the East Coast or something. Isn't he? Is that right?
I can't remember. I'm terrible with that kind of stuff.
Sorry, man, if you're listening. But we had a blast hanging out with him. I was so glad he came out all the way.
And I would definitely travel to one maybe next year if they don't come here. Or even if they do, who knows. It was just really fun to kind of nerd out on that level and to compete. I really enjoyed getting into that competitive mindset and training.
Yeah, it's just too good to go to an event like this, no matter where it is. You'll find a lot of people, you'll meet some new friends, and it certainly, I think both of us would agree that it was a really good experience to compete also and just be around people who are phenomenal at this game and hang with them, you know?
Like, truly talking to people and playing through stuff. So I get there a little bit early. And just kind of hang out with Slim and Cora, and then the rest of the players would kind of show up and just listening to them talk through the game on a level that like I'm not even thinking on, and it's just insane how knowledgeable and how much skill and time they put into this kind of stuff.
No, absolutely. You're always going to get better by hanging with them. And speaking of that, man, you kind of had something that you wanted to talk about on the show too, right?
Yeah, I saw some debates from people, and you see this question a lot on like social media and Discord channels and that kind of stuff on whether playing with other players or doing a study group or having coaches is worth the effort, worth the time, worth the money, and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted to discuss my experience because, you know, I've been playing for about a year.
Yeah.
And competed in a pro tournament. So I thought that that was the best thing I did, was playing with other players, doing duo queues, and just sitting there discussing plays with people and going over, even watching streams and just listening to people and talking about that kind of stuff really changes your mindset. Like I had one time where I sat down to learn Rogue, and I sat down with Ridiculous Hat and Appa. And my first miracle turn with Auctioneer with two players that are very, very good.
Yes.
Just both chattering in my ear, trying to tell me what to do because it's a really quick turn, was just insane. And the different types of plays they'll make compared to what I would make, it's just, it's really different. It doesn't matter what skill level you're at or who you're talking to, just talking with another player will make you a better player. Because there was times where I trained with Appa for a while, for quite a few months before the tournament, and we would have discussions, and it became to the point where it was actually a discussion. It wasn't just him saying, oh, this is what I would do, and I just kind of did it. So it kind of, it helps on, I think, both sides. And so I would definitely go out and reach out to other players, whether you're better than them or they're better than you or whatever. I think it really helps with your mindset, how you're thinking, and really improves your ability to play significantly more than anything else.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, all of us are unique. And so even just in a game like this, there's no one who's going to have the exact same thought process as you, you know, when it comes to, especially like miracle turns, there's something that's extremely complicated or there's not a very clear best answer. I mean, you know, Dr. Boom on turn 7 every time, right? But for the entirety of the game, for even choosing the deck, for building the deck, all those kinds of things, like it doesn't matter if the other player is at the same level as you or even not as good as you or better than you, you're going to learn from hearing what they're thinking, right? That's why I totally agree with you, man. Like, especially people who are better than you, obviously you're going to learn more because you just say, teach me the ways, master, and I will follow, you know. But even people who are just at the same skill set, who maybe make it to about the same rank as you, hearing what they think, you can filter that through and really think through, okay, why do I agree with them or why do I disagree with them? And if I just look at the thought processes as black and white as I can, who's right? You know, because there are times when I'm right, there are times when I'm going to be wrong, and that's okay. But if I can learn from why I'm wrong, when I'm wrong, I'm going to get better as a result of that.
It's really the best way to really improve, especially if you're hitting a plateau where you're kind of hitting the same rank over and over and over again. Go spend some time. You can get a coach for $5, $10, $20 for an hour. And even just 1 hour will help you because they'll get you over that speed bump.
Yeah, no doubt. They'll get you thinking differently, which, believe it or not, is a good thing. Take it from Drunken Monk. He knows better because of it.
I do. I really do. There's just certain plays that I was making that I thought were great, especially when it comes to like mulligans, which seem to be the bane of my existence.
Dude, mulligans are tough.
And so I'd get walked through a mulligan on a deck that I thought I was playing pretty well. I had above a 50% win rate with. And they're like, oh, no, you're keeping the wrong cards.
Oh.
You need to keep this card, not that card. And then all of a sudden I'm like, and then they tell you why. And then you're like, oh, wow.
Well, in that instance.
Okay. Well, Thanks. Now I know I've been playing it wrong the whole time.
But you get better as a result of that. And hey, the other great tool that you have for doing that is watching people on Twitch. There are too many great streamers on Twitch for us to mention any by name, but go and listen to them. Think about it with them. Contribute to their chat.
Or I'm going to give our friendly host a nice plug. Become a Patreon and get some coaching sessions. Hey,
absolutely. We got one coming up this month, remember, actually.
We do, and Andrew went 6-3 against some of the best in the world, so
that was fun.
He can pretend like he's not a great player, but he nearly made top 16. He was one RNG away from winning a round versus not winning a round.
I appreciate that. It was certainly a humbling experience, because yeah, that was a lot of fun, but I'm always happy to help. And I know that I too have also, I've gotten some coaching before from different people, and it's made me a better player. So even if it's just with your buddy, do something, you know, make it happen and get better.
And to swing it back around to like DreamHack or mm-hmm. tournaments, if you're planning to go to a tournament, it is very different than ladder. Mm. It's a very different style of deck, a very different style of play. And yes, you're still taking what would be the predominant decks on the mm-hmm. ladder, but you're teching them very differently and how you're queuing and who you're queuing what into, and that kind of preparation, you really should talk with somebody that's done it mm-hmm. before.
It can only help you. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our community section, man. It's a little bit dry with questions and iTunes reviews, so I would encourage you, if you're listening right now, we'll talk about iTunes reviews later, but feel free to send in any questions you have, especially thoughts on the new expansion, or maybe some of this stuff with DreamHack hit a chord with you, and you've got a little something that you want to ask for us to dive in deeper a bit. Happy to do that. But one thing I'm really excited about in our community section is that the Dust Bowl is back. Woo! I guess I'll cheer for myself, but...
Yeah,
there we go. Thanks, man. But I'm really excited because of you guys. So we launched our Patreon earlier this month, and getting the Dust Bowl back was one of the goals that we had. And man, I was blown away by the support that you guys had and the love that you guys have for this show. And so I'm really thankful. We're not only going to bring back the Dust Bowl, which is where I'll crack some packs with the co-host. We'll put up a YouTube video of opening those packs, talking through them. And then we'll talk through our choices to keep and dust from the packs that we opened. But one thing I wanted to do to add on to that is to give away some packs as well. So the Dust Bowl isn't just for the show now. It's also for you. So all of our patrons are going to be entered into a drawing for each segment that we do. And you could win 7 packs of your choice. So it's exciting. And we'll do that after we talk about our picks here. Drunken Monk, we had a kind of a dry pack opening too, didn't we? Yeah,
it was not very good. We ended up with 2 snow flippers.
Hey, and that was pretty good. We're always happy to see the snow flipper.
No legendaries. It was nothing really great. Yeah.
I'm hoping that the RNG wasn't in my favor, and it will be in the patron who gets the packs. So, but let's talk about these. So my pick to keep was a Golden Grim Necromancer. If you don't remember, that's the 4-mana 2/4 that summons 2/1/1 skeletons. It's kind of not a really exciting card, but the gold is obviously pretty. And the fact that the skeletons are going to be gold too, I mean, it's one of the cards you want in gold, because you get more than just the card itself, you know. But Grim Necromancer is actually not a bad card, and especially in like budget aggro druid decks or budget token decks and stuff like that, this would fit well in an Evolve Shaman. For a common, you could do a whole lot worse than this card, that's for sure.
Agreed.
And what was your pick to keep here?
I kept the Golden Bear Shark because shark.
And it's funny because we were talking about it a few packs before that. It was like, oh, there's a Bear Shark. Man, if it was golden, that'd be great. And then we got one.
I'm a sucker for gold cards. I shouldn't be. They have no value whatsoever, but I still keep them. I don't dust them. I love cards. And the Bear Shark was just an awesome card. I just like it. It's just really cool.
The animation.
Not that it's. It's just, it's really pretty.
The jaw was like going sideways
for a bear shark.
It was funky, but it's all the more terrifying that way. That's a good pick. I'm sure Steve is proud of you in this moment as well. Let's talk about our picks to dust. My pick to dust was the one epic that we got, unfortunately, and that was Blackguard, which is the Paladin 6 mana 3 attack 9 health minion. And whenever you heal, I think it's your hero, you'll deal that much damage to a random enemy. And when we reviewed this card, we thought it'd be good in like a control Paladin setup, and it kind of is in some of those, but that deck just hasn't really seen its day lately. I don't know if I think Uther is going to come back in force with mid-range or some kind of control element with these next expansions. So maybe there'll be a place for Blackguard, but I mean, right now you could just do a whole lot better, I think.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I chose the Dust of Scalebanes because I've had so many of them. Like at that point, I was just like, oh, it's a great card. It's been like I use it in multiple decks. But I've just gotten so many of them. And you can never dust a snow flipper.
No, obviously not. They're far too cute for that.
So it was all... So that's what I finally was just like, oh, I've had plenty of those. I'll get many more. So I dusted them.
We really didn't have many great picks for the dusting, unfortunately.
Yeah. We didn't really have a lot to keep.
I mean, there were some pretty goldens. That golden bear shark is basically legendary in my book. I mean,
exactly.
Pretty much.
I want one. Take it from you.
Well, speaking of that, let's go ahead and draw for our patron who's gonna win some packs here real quick. Are you ready for this? Can we get a drum roll going? And randomized number. Tell me who the winner is. Navalis! Navalis is the winner of our 7 packs, so I'll reach out to you, man. Thanks for being a patron on the show. We'll make sure that you are stocked up for the next expansion or for whichever other expansion you want to get that from. And you'll have to report back and let us know if you get something better, because I really hope you do. Well, hey, speaking of cards to keep, I know that you've chosen something, a card that is really dear to your heart that you want to bring in style to this show. Am I right?
It's dear to my heart, and I hate it at the same time.
Well, you better sing for us and let us know what it is.
All right. Taking this out of Ben Brode's book right here.
Oh, nice.
I am part of the mage that puts you in a rage. I only cost 3, so you can count on me. I add to their clock, but my time is tick-tock because I am the ice block.
Boom! Microphone drop. Ice block, man. So why the ice block?
I think it's a very controversial card.
That's for sure.
And it's being... I wanted to give it a send-off because, you know, we've all been but guaranteed a... move into the Hall of Fame or whatever it is.
Yep.
So won't get to see it anymore, but it's every time I think of Ice Block, I think of Appa.
Oh, it's not a high one on his list of favorites.
Yeah, he rages about Ice Block, and so I get it. It's that card that when you're playing it, awesome. But when they're playing it, it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Like, right. I kind of feel it should have been like legendary. And I know they don't do they didn't do spells for legendary, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
But like, if you'd only had one, it would have been better. The factor you can get 2 and then you can discover it and you can literally go on forever. That I think that made it a big problem card. But I like the design space that it kind of was in. I get what, like, it's part of the mage. And it's sad. It'll be sad to see it go, though it's kind of annoying and maybe makes building a deck not as exciting.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that mage is the one class that's had the most cards. Assuming that this one is going to go in there, too, because you're right. We have all but been confirmed that it is. That this and Ice Lance would be, you know... I think that there's just so much power to freeze mechanics, but then there's also so much power to delaying the game a turn, essentially, is what you're doing. with Ice Block. So it doesn't feel as oppressive lately, I don't think, as it did kind of pre Knights of the Frozen Throne. Would you agree, disagree?
I would agree. I think that we haven't seen it as much. Like, I think there's been enough decks that have been competitive that are outside of Mage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the only Mage that I was running into a ton of is the Quest Mage.
Right. Yeah.
And obviously it's an intricate part in that, but I just haven't been running into a ton of Mage. So, but pre Frozen Throne, it was a lot of people were playing it. You're running into it a bunch and
Burn Mage.
It's one of those, like, Mage in general as a class is a difficult class, I think, to design around.
Mm-hmm.
Because mages as a class type are kind of meant to do obnoxious things.
Right.
So it's like, how do you do that and do that in a card-based game without making it where you feel like you're not playing the game, like they're just playing solitaire. Mm-hmm. And it's whether they get it or not.
Right.
So I think the problem is that Mage is just seems to have, from what I've heard and played over the last year, consistently strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the problems. Like Rogue, you run into the same thing. They have like turns where they'll just literally just go off and destroy you.
Do everything, yes.
So they do Rogue things, but people don't tend to get as mad about it. And I think it's mm-hmm. because Rogue's not always been a great deck.
Mm-hmm. Being able to do 6 damage for 4 mana is powerful. Being able to do 10 damage for 10 mana is powerful.
And yeah,
I think that Mage is one of those classes that just, if it's not kept in check, has too many tools at its disposal. So I think it's probably the right call to let Ice Block go the way of the Woolly Mammoth. And if you really like it, you can go to Wild. But in the meantime, just remember, eye for an eye is the perfect counter.
It is. And it's what's nice about it is that you've got... Like, I'm glad they're moving it because I think that it will allow maybe Freeze Mage to become a deck that people don't hate as much mm-hmm. when they're playing against it. Because I think that's a big portion of it is like, oh, you can freeze everything and I can't kill you. Right. So even after you go through 4 turns of freezing my guys.
Yeah, it's just too much.
Like, they gave him too much to be able to handle and stall damage.
Yeah. Well, we'll send her off. I don't know. We'll have a moment of silence if it enters the Hall of Fame, but it's nice to at least celebrate its presence now. Well, hey, as we wrap up the show, I just want to remind you guys that if you're listening to this right now, you are the happy Hearthstone. This podcast exists for you, and it is sustained by you. Since the very beginning, it's always been about bringing the community on and having a great time. And honestly, there are so many ways for you to support what we're doing here. I want to ask that if this is one of your favorites, or if you listen to every episode, just consider how you can support the show. And obviously, the big one that I have to talk about again is our Patreon, which is finally live. You can go and see the cool perks. You can get like early access to episodes. You could have been listening to this episode earlier than you are now. Unless you're a Patreon listening to the early episode, then you couldn't. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, you can get early access to those episodes, monthly coaching lessons, like you mentioned. And I also want to mention something really special I'm going to do for everyone who signs on to join our Patreon this month in November 2017. Just to be clear, you're going to get a special gift IRL. That's in real life, in case you didn't know. Did you know that, Drunken Monk?
I did not. You asked for my address, and I was like, all right, I guess I'll give it.
I guess I will. That's why I have it on there, because I want to send you guys a little something special just for joining at the ground level, and it will come in your mailbox. I'm thinking around Christmas time, so it'll be a nice little winter's veil gift, if you will. So just a little thank you to you guys. And I won't do this every episode, but I really want to thank each of you who have jumped on to support the show already. Forrest, Matthew, Avantes, Trey, James, Gansdolf, Boticus, Navalis, Mr. Jones, and Dustin Devine. And you guys are so, so great. And I really appreciate you just jumping on and saying, hey, I'm in. Let me know what's up, you know? So you guys have your rewards coming to you. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And this I will do every episode, and that's thank our official producers of the Happy Hearthstone who are supporting us at the highest level. And wait a minute, Drunken Monk, you're on this list.
I am on this list.
Did you write yourself in this list? No, that's exactly right. You were the very first patron. So I think it's only appropriate that you're on this show right after we kind of launch all that.
It's an honor.
Hey, it's an honor to have you, man. You and Jordan is the other producer. I really appreciate you guys. It's just really, you guys are going all in and you're saying, hey, I want this show to grow. I want it to continue to be something great. And just super, super thankful for you, man. So thanks. While I have the chance to tell you actually on the air and stuff, you know.
Well, we'll go out for beers and talk about it.
Yes, we will. We'll go back to Grist. That place was fantastic.
Or my favorite, Blue Spruce.
Yes, I need to check that out too, apparently. That was the nice thing about being in Denver is Drunken Monk knows all the places up there. So he was like, hey, we're going here. We're doing this. I'm just along for the ride, man. So you just tell me. No, but I really appreciate you guys. We've still got goals that we haven't met yet. So definitely go check it out at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone and see how you can join and if there's any perks that kind of catch your eye. You can also, of course, leave a review on iTunes, which helps us a lot when people are looking for a Hearthstone podcast. It only takes a few minutes. And as always, I would love to know what you thought of the show, what you'd like to see for future episodes. So be sure to join our Google Plus community. And also, we've got a Happy Hearthstone YouTube channel now that I'm trying to kind of throw some stuff on there. I'm doing some exclusive content for the patrons, and I'm kind of trying to supplement it with some stuff on YouTube to sort of give you guys a taste of what to expect for that. So links for the Google Plus and YouTube, and also our Blizzard group where you can come and join. Find people to play with and share decks. You can find the links for all of those in the show notes at our website, which is now thehappyhearthstone.com. That's about as simple as it gets, right? I figure keep it simple. That's a good thing. I don't know. I could make it complex if I really wanted to.
Be way more fun.
THH the podcast by Andrew.com. Is that? No. I don't think that's good. Just
that's terrible.
That's really, really bad. And you can also follow me on Twitter at @AndrewIsLiving, or you can follow the show at @TheHappyHS. Email us at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. And I've already said way too much, but there's one other big thing I have to plug, and that's the 12-hour stream. Drunken Monk, I know you're psyched for this, right?
Oh, I'm psyched for this. I might actually set up my coaching session for the middle of the stream just to have some fun.
Oh, please do, man. That would be a lot of fun. We need to do that. Well, it is this Saturday, November 18th, 2017, of course, and it's going to be from 11:59 a.m. to 11:59 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and I have got some special guests lined up that I'm going to be revealing on Twitter and stuff. It is going to be a blast. I just want to say thank you to you guys, the community, for making this show happen, so please come out and hang out with us, twitch.tv/AndrewsLiving. It is going to be a blast, and I can't wait to see each and every one of you there as well.
I do. So I try and stream at twitch.tv/drunkenmonkc38. You can
catch
me on
the letter C.
The letter C. Yeah,
like in your profile pic.
In my profile pic. Yeah, my profile pic is pretty awesome.
I love it.
Credit about that. You can find me on Twitter, where I'm kind of interactive most of the time. At @drunkenmonk_c38.
There's that's all short, now. Man. Come on.
Okay, I'm very active on Twitter.
Yes, you are.
Not almost as active as Ridiculous Hat on Discord, okay?
Yeah, and no one comes close to that, but you are very active.
And if you're a soccer fan, I do a soccer podcast for the Voice of C38, and we stream on Tuesdays at my channel. And it's an awesome podcast about the Colorado Rapids and about supporters groups. And so if you're into that kind of thing, give us a listen.
I did not really know until I met you while you were wearing your jersey for the team with Drunken Monk on the back of it at DreamHack. You
it's
are not
jersey.
Soccer is not a little part of your life. You love this stuff.
Oh, no, I do. We do a lot of stuff. We're doing a new YouTube show that's interacting with the Rapids front office. And of course we do the podcast and we throw a big party before each game, which I DJ at. So like we do a lot of fun stuff.
You do it big. I got to make my way up there for one of those games.
Yeah. You should come to the season opener in
When is it?
March. That'll be February, March.
Oh, yeah. Come on, then. For some reason, I thought we were wrapping up season, but obviously I'm big into soccer. So
no, we were terrible and didn't make the playoffs. So season's wrapped up for us.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure to I'll make sure to swing by for one of those games then. That'd be fun. Well, man, it's been so great having you on the show, Drunken Monk. I know we've talked about having you on for a while, so I'm so glad we got to do it when we did. And now we're not just buddies online, we're buddies like IRL, man. Again.
That's awesome. And thanks for having me. It's been a blast. Let's enjoy the happy Hearthstone.
Hey, there's nothing better than talking about a game you love with people you love, right? It's just a good time all around. So I appreciate you coming on, man. And hey, guys, thank you so much for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.